Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball and Bruce Alpert, Mario Ritter, and Brian Lynn. Katie Weaver will tell us what's trending today, and Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Anne Ball.
James Comey says he believes he lost his job as head of the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation because of its investigation of Russian involvement in the 2016 elections. Comey served as the FBI's director until last month. Then President Donald Trump ordered his dismissal. Comey met with a U.S. Senate committee Thursday. He accused Trump of not being truthful when he said he fired Comey because FBI agents no longer trusted his leadership and that the agency was in disarray.
Those were lies, plain and simple.
Comey went further than he did in written testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee. Those written statements were released on Wednesday. In the earlier testimony, the former FBI director said he and the president spoke about Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Comey said Trump told him that he hoped he would drop an investigation into Flynn's possible connections to Russian officials. Comey remembered the president saying, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go." He also said that Trump told him during a private White House dinner, "I need loyalty. I expect loyalty." That was troubling, Comey said, because the FBI is supposed to operate independently of the president.
Separately, Trump's personal lawyer, Mark Kasowitz, denied that the president ever demanded loyalty from Comey. But he said Comey's testimony confirmed the president was not under investigation. After testifying for about 2.5 hours, Comey met in private with committee members. They said he would be asked about issues related to classified information that could not be discussed in public.
Idaho Senator James Risch is a member of the committee and, like Trump, belongs to the Republican Party. Risch asked Comey if hoping that something would be done is the same as ordering him to take action. Comey said it is different when the U.S. president makes the request.
I mean, this is the president of the United States with me alone saying, "I hope this." I took it as this is what he wants me to do.
Comey said he was so concerned with one-on-one discussions with the president that he decided to follow up the meetings by writing reports on what was discussed. "I knew there might come a day when I might need a record of what happened, not only to defend myself, but to protect the FBI," he said. Comey said he was honestly concerned that the president might lie about the nature of their meetings. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Anne Ball.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in has called on North Korea to stop testing missiles after the North's latest missile launch. Moon urged North Korea to immediately halt what he called its nuclear and missile provocations. Early Thursday, North Korea launched missiles from an area near Wonsan, a city on its eastern coast. They traveled about 200 kilometers to the east and landed in the sea. The Office of South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said they appeared to be short-range cruise missiles. A spokesman for the office said the launch seemed to be a test designed to answer recent United States naval exercises in the region. However, South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff noted that the test did not violate United Nations Security Council restrictions because the missiles did not travel high enough. Those restrictions ban high-altitude missile and nuclear weapons development. Japan's Chief Cabinet Secretary, Yoshihide Suga, said there was no reason for council members to consider the latest test. The government has dealt with actions of North Korea based on responses of the international community. However, we don't think this missile launch is something we need to protest against, he said. The secretary said the missiles did not reach Japan's exclusive economic zone, which extends about 370 kilometers from the Japanese coast. The launches took place one day after the administration of President Moon Jae-in suspended additional deployment of an American anti-missile system. A presidential aide said an environmental study was required by law before additional deployment could take place. The study could take 2 years. Two rocket launchers have already been deployed to South Korea as part of the THAAD anti-missile system. The study delays the deployment of an additional 4 launchers. The postponement comes after reports that the Defense Ministry failed to inform Moon of the additional deployments. He suspended a deputy defense minister for his part in bypassing the president's office. On Thursday, the Defense Ministry did not comment on the THAAD issue because of an investigation into the deployment's approval. During the South Korean election campaign, Moon called for a detailed study of the THAAD anti-missile system agreement with the United States. The deployment of the system went forward as then-President Park Geun-hye faced removal from office over accusations of corruption. China has opposed the THAAD missile deployment on the Korean Peninsula. The Chinese government considers it a threat. The state-operated Global Times said Wednesday that the delay in the additional deployment could ease tensions between China and South Korea. Chinese officials reportedly have canceled tourist trips to South Korea and taken other economic measures against the South to show their displeasure. Bruce Bennett is a defense expert with the RAND Corporation Research Group. He told VOA that the latest missile launch might show new capabilities for North Korea's missile program. However, he said, they presented little threat to U.S. forces in East Asia. Currently, the U.S. military has deployed 2 aircraft carrier strike groups to the area. The strike groups include the carriers USS Carl Vinson and the USS Ronald Reagan. I'm Mario Ritter.
An Indian movie about two sisters has become a huge hit in China. The Hindi language film called Dongle has earned almost $170 million in China since its release there on May 5th. It is the highest grossing non-Hollywood foreign film released in China. China is the world's second largest movie market after the United States, but it imports very few foreign films that do not come from U.S. production companies. Much has been written about why Dongle has enjoyed such big success in China. Critics say one reason is the film's star and producer, Aamir Khan. He is famous in India's Bollywood film industry. 2 of his earlier films were also big hits in China. Khan's popularity was clear after he got more than 600,000 followers on the Chinese social media service Sina Weibo within 2 months of joining. But he is not the only reason the film strongly connects with moviegoers across China. Media observers and social media posts have noted how it shows similarities between patriarchal systems in China and India. It also deals with issues related to the treatment of girls and women. Dongle is based on the true story of a man who enjoyed the sport of wrestling. He competed as a wrestler, but never could achieve his lifelong dream, winning a gold medal. As a father, he wanted his son to win the medal, but his wife only gives birth to daughters. So he eventually decides to train them to be world-class wrestlers. The movie is more serious than many Bollywood productions. Most tell happy love stories and include colorful music and dance performances. Edward Chan is a professor of sociology at the Hong Kong Polytechnic University. He says the strict approach to parenting in the film is something people in China can easily relate to. I think the father role portrayed by the movie in India is quite similar to the culture, especially the traditional culture in China. Tan Sen Sen, a professor at the City University of New York, agrees. He said the film's parent-child issues are well understood in China, along with the interest in sports. China's Xinhua News Agency said the film's messages about gender roles and education reforms had struck a chord with many Chinese parents. Aamir Khan told a magazine he never imagined the movie would be such a big success in China. They have embraced a film with a different language, from a different country, and it has connected to them emotionally. Creative fields don't have any barriers. The Chinese government-supported Global Times newspaper noted that some movie critics in China did not like Dongle. Most of the criticism was tied to the fact that the father in the film was forceful in pushing his daughters to become wrestlers. The newspaper said the film also led to debates over feminism in China, specifically whether modern-day girls should completely reject the values of a patriarchal society. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is what's trending today. The United States named 12 new astronauts this week. The astronauts will work for NASA, the American Space Agency. The astronaut class of 2017 includes doctors, scientists, engineers, pilots, and military officers. 7 are men, and 5 are women. The youngest is 29 years old. The oldest is 42. Vice President Mike Pence officially welcomed the group during a ceremony Wednesday at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Pence offered congratulations from President Donald Trump. He said the president is firmly committed to NASA's noble mission, leading America in space. More than 18,300 people applied to become astronauts. NASA says they contacted the space agency during a short application period that began in late 2015. That is more than double the record number of 8,000. The earlier record was set in 1978, when the agency was preparing for the first launch in its space shuttle program. The 12 new astronauts will join 44 astronauts already with NASA. The last time the space agency launched astronauts from American soil was 2011, when the space shuttles were retired. Since then, NASA has depended on the Russian space program to get Americans to the International Space Station. However, that could change next year. After 2 years of training, the new astronauts could travel to the space station or fly beyond the moon in NASA's Orion spacecraft. But the space agency would depend on private businesses for rockets and other equipment. SpaceX and Boeing are building capsules to carry astronauts to the space station and back. Those vehicles could be ready for use as soon as next year. A launch engineer and top official with SpaceX, Rob Coolin, is among the 12 new astronauts. "Hopefully, one day, I will actually fly on a vehicle that I got to design," he said. Coolin and his classmates may be in for a long wait, however. Some members of the class of 2009 have yet to launch. This is NASA's 22nd group of astronauts. The first group, the Mercury 7 astronauts, was chosen in 1959. 350 Americans have been chosen to become astronauts. Requirements include U.S. citizenship, college degrees in science, technology, engineering, or mathematics, and at least 3 years of experience, or 1,000 hours of piloting jets. And that's what's trending today. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. The 1954 American film On the Waterfront helped make actor Marlon Brando a star. Brando played the main character, a dock worker named Terry Malloy. In the film, Malloy meets face-to-face with a gangster at a seaport. The two men fight in front of many dock workers. The fight is terrible, and it lasts a long time. You may not realize it, but describing this fight scene can teach you a lot about the structure of the English language. In fact, telling about this fight scene can show you how to use adverbial prepositional phrases. Do not be frightened. This report will be much less painful than the hard punches thrown by Marlon Brando's character.
Adverbials are words or terms that give information about time, place, reason, or the way something is done. They answer questions like how often, where, why, when. They are traditionally defined as modifiers of verbs. Adverbials take several shapes: adverbs, verb phrases, and subordinate clauses, for example. Today, we begin our report on adverbials with one of the most common adverbial structures, the prepositional phrase.
Adverbials are important because they can change or amend almost any of the basic sentence patterns in English. In other everyday grammar stories, we explored five common sentence patterns that form the basic structure of many sentences in English. You can read about these patterns on our website. Adverbials are one of the reasons that sentences are longer than the basic sentence structures. Adverbials add more information to a sentence. One of the most useful ways to include more information is to add a prepositional phrase.
A prepositional phrase is a group of words that begins with a preposition and ends in a noun, pronoun, or noun phrase. Prepositional phrases generally have two parts: the preposition and the object of the preposition. Learning and understanding prepositions is important. Of the 20 most commonly used words in English, 8 are prepositions. The object of the preposition is often a noun phrase, a group of words that acts like a noun in a sentence. Do not worry. All of this sounds much more complex than it actually is. Think back to the movie from the beginning of the story, On the Waterfront. On is a preposition. The waterfront is the object of the preposition. The name of the film, on the waterfront is an example of a prepositional phrase.
English often puts together groups of prepositional phrases to make sentences longer. Now consider this sentence that tells about the fight scene in On the Waterfront.
Terry Molloy fought.
Do you remember how we told you that adverbials give information about place, time, or reason? If you wanted to describe the fight scene from the movie, you could add a prepositional phrase to tell where Terry Molloy fought.
Terry Molloy fought.
Where?
On the waterfront.
You can add a second prepositional phrase to tell about how long he fought.
Terry Molloy fought.
Where?
On the waterfront.
How long?
For 3 hours.
Then you could add another prepositional phrase if you wanted to tell about when he fought.
Terry Molloy fought.
Where?
On the waterfront.
How long?
For 3 hours.
When?
On Saturday.
Now, you do not want to include too many prepositional phrases in a sentence. That might confuse or lose your reader. However, you can still see that you can build a long sentence from a simple starting point, such as Terry Molloy fought.
Adverbial prepositional phrases are fun because you can move them to different places in the sentence. Moving adverbial phrases lets you emphasize or highlight different words in the sentence. There is one general rule you should remember. You can move time phrases easier than other kinds of prepositional phrases. This idea is not as complex as you might think. Consider our example.
Terry Molloy fought on the waterfront for 3 hours on Saturday.
You can move the phrases to say this.
For 3 hours on Saturday, Terry Molloy fought on the waterfront.
You see that the phrases have moved, but the sentence has all of the same words, and it still has the same meaning. Or you could say this.
On Saturday, Terry Molloy fought on the waterfront for 3 hours.
In these two examples, the phrases that tell about time are in the front of the sentence. English speakers usually do not put the location or place adverbial phrase at the beginning of the sentence. You might read a sentence like this, but it is not as common.
On the waterfront, Terry Molloy fought for 3 hours on Saturday.
This sentence could be used in poetry or writing. However, it has a more artistic feel to it. In general, English speakers do not speak this way.
Recognizing and understanding adverbials will help you with your speaking and writing. You can use adverbials to play up certain words in the sentence. A common strategy in political speeches, for example. Adverbial prepositional phrases can be difficult, but learning how to recognize and use them will help improve your writing and speaking skills. They will also help you on your next English test, too. I'm Jill Robbins.
I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.